Glad to be here this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be here too. I missed you guys last week. We were out of town. And you know, it's always good to be missed. And I came Wednesday night to the service and walked back through the door back there, and Beverly walked over to me and said, "Dwayne, your love awakens me." Did not you say that?
Yes,
she did. So, and I was highly elated that my love awakened Beverly until I realized she was telling me the name of the song that the choir was singing this morning. It does? Okay. But I'm glad to see you guys here this morning. It's always an encouragement and a blessing to me to see you out there in Sunday school, and I trust that you'll get something from our passage this morning, which is Genesis chapter 45. Genesis 45. One of the things that we've seen from Joseph and his life and his activities in the past four or five chapters is that he's a faithful servant of the Lord. He has a steady, ongoing trust in God, and he's accountable. He makes himself accountable to God and also to men. And if somehow we could sit with Joseph and talk with him about his experiences in his life, I can't help but think that he would try to encourage us to be faithful and to be steady in our walk with the Lord. In Genesis 44, when we were together 2 weeks ago, we saw how Joseph's brothers, Jacob, the 11 sons of Jacob, went to Egypt, and they got their food. Jacob reluctantly let his smallest boy, Benjamin, go. And once they got there, they got their food, and they started back home. And we saw how Joseph had placed his silver cup in Benjamin's sack, and that was on purpose. And so we saw how they had to go back into Egypt and discuss this with Joseph. And Joseph threatened to keep Benjamin with him while the other 10 went back to Jacob. And were it not for Judah's intervention, that's what they would have done. But Judah intervened, and he begged that he be the one to stay. And that's where we are right now in the story, is Judah has just intervened for his son. He basically told Joseph, when our dad finds out that Benjamin's not with us, when we get back home, he'll die. He will not be able to take this. And so that's where we are as we pick up in verse number 1 of chapter 45. It says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.' And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard." Now in verse 1, we saw where Joseph had everybody leave. And we don't know exactly where they went, but Joseph cried and wept aloud enough that they're still hearing this. The Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard Joseph weeping. And verse 3 says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence." Now that phrase there, troubled at his presence, it means to tremble out of fear. It means that these guys were really shaken up at what they just heard, that the second in command in Egypt, Joseph, who had his own Egyptian name, was actually the brother that they had first of all left down in that pit to die, and then later sold to the Midianite merchant men. And in verse 4, Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years more, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither or here, but God. And he hath made me a Pharaoh, a father to Pharaoh, and Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, if you don't remember anything else about this man Joseph, remember this right here. Joseph believed that God was in control. He believed in the sovereignty of God. Here, he has every right in the world to be angry with his 10 brothers who did this to him. And yet, in verse number 4, he finds himself saying, "Come here. Come closer to me." In verse 5, "Don't be angry with yourselves. Don't be grieved at what you've done. God had a plan in everything that you did." He believed that God was in control of his life. And in verse 9 he says, "Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast." So this place, Goshen, they tell us, is on the eastern part of the country, and it was a place that was really good to raise cattle, highly suitable to raise cattle. And that would be right along all of Jacob's sons, that'd be right down their alley because they had cattle. And this would be a great place, and it would be a place that was away from the Egyptians. They didn't go there. The Egyptians didn't want this place. And so once again, we see that God had orchestrated this thing, that God was in control every step of the way. And Joseph continues telling them in verse 11, "And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." So Joseph is saying, "Listen, boys, I want you to go home and tell Dad, bring him back, and I want you to tell him who I am. I'm second in command. And boys, I want you to tell him that we've still got 5 more years of famine. Only 2 years have passed, and we still got 5 more years of famine. But don't worry, because I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you guys. And I want you to look at me. Benjamin, look at me. Look at my mouth. I'm the one that's talking. And I want you to tell your father, tell our father, exactly what you hear." In verse 14, he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Now this is a special bond between these two brothers, because they have the same mother. They all had the same father, but Benjamin and Joseph had the same mother, who was Rachel. But in verse 15 it says, "Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him." Now, I don't want to go any further until we pass over a very important point here. Let's get the big picture here. Joseph has every right in the world to be mad at his brothers, right? It was cruel what they did. Certainly wasn't brotherly, was it? And that spurred some events in Joseph's life where, you know, he got out of the pit. He got sold to the Midianite merchant men who sold him to Potiphar. And that was okay for a while, because in Joseph's life, things tend to work out. But then his Potiphar's wife made that false accusation, and then that lands Joseph in prison. And all this was because his brothers first lowered him in that pit. And yet, here he is, second in command of the country of Egypt. And he could do anything to these boys that he wanted. And you know what he chose to do? Forgive them. Forgive them. The reason I want to spend just a minute here at this point is because Joseph is a man that has favor with God. And so we've been looking at different reasons why we think he might have favor with God. His faithfulness to the Lord, his honesty, his hard work. He always strove to treat everybody to the best of his abilities. But here we see Joseph with the power to inflict whatever kind of retribution and revenge upon these boys for doing this to him 22 years ago. He's crying and he's weeping as he forgives them. You know what I think? And we can look at a few verses in a minute, but I think another reason that God was so pleased with Joseph was because he was a forgiving man. And we've all been in Joseph's place, okay? We're all seniors here, right? We've been around the block, and we have been offended, and we have been hurt, and we have been slandered, and we have been the subject of being a traitor, being the end of a traitor. Maybe even by our family. Hey, maybe even by our church family. And yet if we look at the life of Joseph, we're going to see that it's awfully important to do that one thing of forgiveness. See, we got to remember that we don't have to live the rest of our days remembering what's happened to us. In fact, if we do that, it's going to rob us of the present, of all the good in the present. Joseph didn't just say, "I forgive you," and then go on his merry way and not even pay any more attention to it. No, he loved on them, and he brought them to him, and he hugged him, and he said, "I forgive you," and then he spends the next many, many, many years taking care of them. So if we do the same thing in our life, and by the way, as a child of God, one of the things that we need to do is make ourselves more like Jesus Christ all the time. If you believe that statement, say amen. Amen. If we become like our Lord, we're going to forgive. Psalms 86 verse 5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." That's who he is. Ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy, and to anybody who calls upon his name. And if we're supposed to be just like our Lord, that's the way we're going to be. Joseph looked out here and saw his brothers coming to him, and he spent the last four chapters assessing the situation. And I think Joseph was a man who knew that, you know, he could have just given these boys their food and sent them on their way, but they needed to be at the place where he was in life. And that was, he had a respect for his God. He had a love for his God. He had a desire to be faithful to the Lord. And he knew his brothers needed to be in that spot. And once they got to that spot and Joseph finally revealed himself, the Bible says that they were troubled at his presence. I'd be troubled too. You know? If I had lowered my brother down into a pit and 22 years later find out that he's a top dog in charge and he's got the power to take my life or not extend any mercy at the very least, yeah, I'd be a little bit worried. Here Joseph is a man who is like the Lord. He's ready to forgive. He's got plenty of mercy. And these boys are calling upon him, and he's going to give them his mercy. And that's just like Jesus Christ. Just like our Lord. What's he say in the New Testament? Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Plenteous in mercy. Man, we got no right to think we deserve his grace and his mercy, but he gives it to us anyway. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. That's what Joseph told his brothers. Come here, draw near. Come closer. Come closer. Come see me about this thing. And we're going to take care of this thing, and we're going to put this thing behind us. Jesus even said, when we come to him and we pray to him, he says, if you have aught against anybody, go back to your closet and forgive that person before you talk to me. Guys, that's in our ability to do that today. And you know how hard this is. Sometimes it's easy to hold a grudge, isn't it? On the surface, you've forgiven that person, and you don't really talk about it anymore, so it's kind of hidden. But man, down deep, you still remember it, don't you? I do. I'm in the same boat. But yet, if we look at how God is, and we realize that we quickly lose God's blessing. As a child of God, we quickly lose God's blessing in our life when we fail to forgive our brother. Let's continue in our story, verse 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast and go, get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat of the fat of the land. You know, when I was reading this passage this week, I was thinking, okay, so all along the way, Joseph's life, there have been people blessed because of him. You remember back in Potiphar's house, the Bible was very clear on telling us that God blessed and highly favored Joseph. And then everybody saw, or at least Potiphar, saw that God's blessing was upon Joseph. And then what happened a couple of verses later? God started blessing the house of Potiphar because of Joseph. Isn't that neat? Those people received blessings from God because of Joseph. And here we see once again, these boys have no reason, they do not deserve the fat of the land. They don't deserve the good of the land of Egypt. But they're going to get it. They're going to receive this because of Joseph. Oh, friends, let's pray that God make us just like Joseph, where people's lives are blessed because of us. Make me a blessing, Lord. You know why? You know, Brother Chris, he stands up here a lot and he says, you know, we got to be one of the most friendliest churches in town, and he's probably right. And you wonder why some people go around and they visit and they see the visitors and they talk and carry on with conversations. It's because that's a blessing to people. And you know, I know I walk around sometimes and sometimes it's awkward, but my intent, my motive behind that is to be a blessing to somebody. And a lot of times I don't know what to say. And a lot of times I just open my mouth and what comes out is pretty stupid. But my desire is to be a blessing to people. And Joseph is a blessing to his family. He's a blessing to his father, or at least he will be when all this happens. Verse 19 continues, now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also, regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. A little partiality there, huh? And to his father he sent after this manner: 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, "See that ye fall not out by the way." And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, "Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Boy, you know, you can just imagine the scenario that's just happened. 22 years ago, Jacob has lost his son, or so he's thought. And now, you know, he probably heard some commotion. I mean, here we've got this big caravan of wagons, and all these beasts of burden carrying. All, can you imagine this, Stacy? All this. The Bible says the good things of Egypt. I mean, this is the stuff not from Walmart, but from Ashley's and places like that. This is the good stuff. And you hear, he hears all this commotion coming down the way here, and he probably goes outside. What is this? What could all that be? Man, there's dust 2 miles long back there. And he gets just a little bit closer. And they get just a little bit closer, and Jacob sees who it is. That's his sons. And his sons are carrying all this wonderful, all these riches and all this food. And they say, "Dad, Joseph's alive. Man, he's second in charge over all the land of Egypt." Bible says his heart fainted. Yeah, mine would faint too. Here, he's missed his son all this time. He's given up for dead, even though it didn't happen. He had to give up his son Simeon. Remember, Simeon was held hostage. And then he had to agree to let Benjamin go on this last trip. His family is on the verge of probably starvation because of this famine. Food's running low. And when they get there with all this food, they tell him that he's not only alive, but he's the governor. Can you imagine the emotions? Can you imagine what was going through Jacob's mind? And verse 27 continues, "And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said," that's Jacob, "it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." Now, let's go back to verse 24 real quick. This is very interesting. Okay, so here we have Joseph. His claim to fame, if you will, probably not the best choice of words, but his most redeeming attributes is faithfulness to the Lord. We saw that for many weeks in previous chapters. His approval by God. And now in this chapter, and in previous chapters as well, we see forgiveness of others. Okay? Faithfulness to God and forgiveness of others. Extending forgiveness to others who have wronged him. Well, in verse 24, he says unto them, "See that you fall not out by the way." Now, when you first read that, you have a tendency to think, well, that's just Joseph encouraging them to not get tired and quit. Don't lay this thing down. You know, make sure you stay on your journey and get all this stuff to Jacob. And what it really means, that phrase really means, is do not quarrel while on the way. Do not quarrel. Now, think about this. Remember Reuben, who... Reuben, just a couple chapters ago, started laying blame. "Oh, it's not my fault. that Joseph got sold. It's not my fault, it's your fault. I told you we shouldn't do it. And Joseph's very wise here. He says, listen, boys, when you get on this journey, you're going to be thinking, you're going to have to face the music with your father. You've lied to your dad all this time. And people don't know what's happened, but they're going to find out. And Joseph knew that when they get on this trip, they're going to start laying blame on each other. They're going to start fussing. See that you don't quarrel while you're on this trip, guys. Get over that. Now, he's just spent time forgiving them, and now he's giving them advice. And I think what he's telling us is, not only are we to be faithful to God, and not only are we to have forgiveness to others who wrong us, but we're to have fellowship with both. I think of our age group, the seniors. You know, you have a church like Bible Baptist Church, and there's so many people have a touch in this ministry. So many people do something, and that's their gift. That's their service. That's what they will be remembered for when they're gone. You know, down at the cemetery here down the road, there's two dates. You know what they are, the date of birth and the date of death. And between those two dates, there's a dash. There's a dash. And I think Joseph is just trying to help his boys see that while you're going back home and while you're taking all these goods to Dad and all this food back to Dad, remember life is short. And don't fuss about this thing. Brothers, I've already forgiven you. Now you need to forgive yourselves. And don't spend your time arguing back and forth about what's happened, because it's already done. There's nothing you can do about it. And I was thinking, you know what? That's the same thing here. That's the same thing in any family or in any church. What's done is done. We can't change it. If I wronged you 10 years ago and you're mad at me today, it's done. You know, if you wronged me 10 years ago and I've been carrying a grudge, I can't do anything about that. It's done. But what we can both do is go toward the future and get on with their life. And that's what Joseph's trying to tell them. It's time to move on. You know, here's the sad part about, and you know what I'm about to say is 100% true. You can have, I'm gonna make up two names here, okay? This is gonna be, I'm gonna just call him Tom. This is Tom right here. He's sitting in this chair. He's been a member of Bible Baptist Church for 20 years. Who is this, Linda? That's Tom. This lady right here is Jane. She's been a member here for 20 years as well. Tom and Jane, good people. Man, Tom will do anything in the world to fix anything around here. He'll come up here and he'll fix a faucet or put a dispenser on the wall or he'll vacuum. And Jane's the same way. Now, both Tom and Jane are living in the dash. And when either Tom or Jane end their life, the dash is going to be over. Now, suppose Tom and Jane 5 years ago got crossways with each other. You know, it happens. Sometimes we just don't think when we say things or do things. I do that all the time. You probably do too. But 5 years ago, Tom and Jane got crossways with each other. And there's a grudge there. Did you know human nature is such that Now, we're seniors, okay? We're seniors, so keep in mind that's where this story's going. We're seniors. And behind us is coming all these middle-aged people and all these young people and all these kids at Bible Baptist Church. They're coming up behind us, aren't they? They're coming up behind us. Now, even though Tom and Jane have been here for 20 years and they're faithful and they work and they support the ministry and they support our pastor and they do whatever they can to make things better around here and they love the Lord, if there's a grudge between these two, if there's quarreling going on, if there is forgiveness that needs to be handed out and it's not been handed out or accepted either way, did you know all the people behind us, the middle-aged people coming up behind us and the young people coming up behind us, all these people will only remember that grudge? That's human nature. All the good that's done in the dash will be overshadowed by the tension between those two people right there. You follow me? We're human beings. That's what we do. We choose to remember the most outlandish things that stick out in our mind. And we got to remember that as a child of God, if we want to be like Christ, we got to forgive. And if we want to be like Christ, we got to receive forgiveness. And while we're on the way, we got to get along. That's what Joseph said. Hey, you guys are set up. Man, you're going to have this beautiful land in Goshen. You're going to have plenty of water and green grass for all your cattle, and you're going to be by yourself. The Pharaoh or the Egyptians are not going to bother you. So as you're going back home, you better get along, because that's the most important thing. And I thought, boy, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Because our Lord put that kind of message out there as well. Remember the prayer that Jesus, we talked about just a moment ago, we mentioned it. Before you come to me, go back home and make this thing right. That's what he says. So if I read my Bible right, I got to get along with you. Is that what you get? If I read my Bible right, and I offended you, you need to forgive me. And vice versa. That's the way this is working. You know, we can look at Joseph's life in so many ways. It's just such a blessing. Joseph is just a blessing. And you say, well, you're reading a lot into his life. No, I don't think so. Why would you take a chapter like chapter, I forget what chapter it was, 34 or 39 or something like that. God's pleased with him. God's pleased with him. God's favor is with him. God's blessing him. Man, if we're going to be like Joseph, then we need to do the things that Joseph was doing in his life. And he was trying to please the Lord. He was trying to have good fellowship with others. He was trying to forgive. He was trying to be the best employee he could be. Man, I need to be like that guy. And sometimes I'm not. Sometimes we get messed up thinking in our head, and sometimes we don't end up doing and saying the things that we need to say. And so I came to this chapter and I thought, man, that's just a great example for me to follow. If there's forgiveness that needs to be done while I'm in the dash, because you know the dash could end quick. Dwayne could be going back to Lubbock after church and the dash could end. Or I could walk out that door right there and the dash could end. We don't know that. So we got to take advantage of the dash, that wonderful opportunity in that dash right there, and take care of things. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the life.